present every heart in your presence, O God. Draw our hearts closer to you. Draw our soul to long more after you. There's no help in man but you and you alone. Draw our hearts, our soul to you. Father, you said it's vain to put hope in princes, in kings, in man. Unto you, O God, we put our trust, our hope. So we present our hearts before your throne. We surrender to you. And we have come to thank you, to acknowledge that it is your strength that has brought us through this year. It is your faithfulness that keeps us. It is your grace that carries us. Father, we can't even trust in our flesh. We acknowledge that you are the reason we are here. And so we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are the only reason we are not in hospitals. You are the only reason we have roofs over our heads. We have jobs. We have hands to work. You are the reason we have eyes to see. Father, you are worthy of our thanksgiving. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you. We commit ourselves to you daily in this place. Continue to have your way in our lives. Father, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear that only which your Spirit is saying in this time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Continue to pray for those that are not with us today because of assignments and trips outside of the city. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. I just want to say this to you. God will never disappoint you. Never. God would never fail you. Never. He's never failed and he will never fail you. we live in this earthly body, and it has limitations. So as humans, even though we carry the presence of God in us, but as long as we live in this limited body, we can disappoint each other. We might not measure up to each other's expectations. And the Lord was showing me, I can disappoint my wife. I can probably not meet her expectation. My parents can disappoint me. If I'm putting hope on my dad and he gets sick and he dies, that's limitation. That could bring disappointment. You have a friend you're trusting in, and something happens tomorrow, their business fails. It could be disappointment. As humans, things happen. Peter suffered with Jesus. He was with Jesus and boasted all he can that he would follow him to the end. But under pressure, he denied him as a human. So in this earthly body, we can disappoint. We might not meet expectations. But that's why Jeremiah makes it clear that putting your trust in kings will bring a curse upon you. When it means trust, it's not saying God can use people, people can be a blessing, husbands and wives or families or pastors or ministers, God can use them. But to put the hope and the trust you have in God or man is a curse. When you make man your God. So basically what the Lord was saying to me in this time of worship, and it really broke my heart, is I have no limitations. I can't disappoint you. I can't fail you. It's impossible. And the Lord was saying to me, say to you, he is the only one that if you suffer for him because you're obeying him, because you're serving him, because you're doing things because of his kingdom, he says he's the only one. If you suffer for him, you will be glorified with him. What that means is, there is nothing you do for God or for the kingdom of God or you do to serve God that you will be disappointed. So, if you're here this morning and you think God does not know where you are, he doesn't know your need, he doesn't know what you're striving with, what you're struggling with. No matter what the need is, God is saying if you stay faithful to him, if you will fall on him, if you will surrender to him, he will never disappoint you. He will never fail you. He's the only one you can fall on. You can literally throw your life into his hands and will never fail. Because he has no limitations. So trust him with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will order your paths. He will never. The Lord is saying over to you this morning, he has no limitation. So it's impossible for him to disappoint those who are faithful to him. He cannot fail you. Amen. Amen. The Lord is doing something in our midst, and we are totally open to the Holy Spirit and to the new thing God is doing. And we will continue to be sensitive. And the Lord is just dealing with me to be sensitive to allow the gifts and callings that are sitting here. I'm so grateful people are stepping out, obeying God. Last Sunday, after worship, we had a tongues. Somebody stepped out. Another person interpreted. Another person gave the song to sing. And we're just obeying God. That's what God wants to see in the body. The body operating as the Spirit leads. Amen? So we pray that what God has promised us this year, none of us will miss it. Amen. Amen. So, because of the way I believe we are going to be literally, because it's a new year, and we are asking God to take us to a new level of just yielding to the Spirit, and because we don't know what God will do from time to time, we might have a teaching soon on the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. So that we all can be on the same page, so that when God is moving, we'll not be afraid or consigned or overwhelmed, so that God can have his way. Amen? There's something the Lord, you know, every year is a new year, and many of us make promises. Many of us see the new year as a time to make some changes, to do some adjustments. So some of us, we say, I'm not going to do this year. I'm going to do this year. We make some things to try to improve our relationship with God, or our ability to be more productive, or our relationship with people, or our productivity in life. So because the new year offers us that transitional leverage, we do that. Amen? But at the end of a particular year, we might look back and say, I achieved this. I didn't achieve this. I was not where I want to be, or I didn't really see this happen or that happen. So basically, what I'm saying is the new year is a time where many of us set what we call goals. And when you set a goal in the physical, in the natural, it becomes a vision, something you have in hand, something you're looking forward to achieve. So to be able to achieve that, it's not gonna just happen like that. You have to have, now that you have a vision, you have to have a strategy. And when you have a strategy, then you have to have a mission. You have to be intentional about achieving that goal, because you've set that goal for this year. It's not forever. So businesses do that. Governments do that. Some churches do that. But as we're entering this year, because every year is a new year, the Lord started showing me, I want to teach you how to make sure you don't miss the things I have for you in this year. Even things you've missed, how to retrieve it, how to redeem them. But I know that this is something we say every year. So why will this year be different? What do I need to do to achieve some tangible goals in 2019. Physical goals understood that we can physically, strategically go after and try to achieve. But spiritual goals is something that also we try to achieve, but how do we get there? What I want to share with you this morning will not only position us on how to follow what God is doing, and also how to really have the mind of a winner, really have the mind of a victorious winner, and not only that, really have a mindset for success. And to be an overcomer. A little bit of this, the way God opened my eyes to receive this year is different from the past. But a little bit of it that I know that I practice, I found that it works. It's really work. For me, 2018, when I practiced a little bit of this, the spiritual goal that I measured was peace. I went through mountains like you. I went through valleys like you. But I had peace in my heart. I had peace. Occasionally I will share with the staff or the leaders, I just have so much peace this year, but I don't go into details. Circumstances might not change the way you want it. Situations might still be obstinate. God knows what he's doing. But peace is a standard for victory. When you have peace, is you arrive at a place in the situation where you know God is in control. And that situation, you are above it. You might not immediately hold the full solution, but you've already overcome the problem. The problem does not take your peace. It has no fear attached to it. Those are some of the things I received from this principle last year. I could measure a few breakthroughs here, physical things here and physical things there. Also, part of this, I'm just sharing this so that you pay attention to what I'm about to share with you, because the purpose of Mount Zion is to empower you to be an overcomer. You must realize as long as the devil is here, there will be obstacles. But we've been empowered to be victorious. Amen? Some of the goals, the spiritual goal I just shared to you was peace. And it comes out of so many reasons. Then some of the physical goals, for example, corporate goals, personal goals. Corporate goals, we had a plan to have a solemn assembly last year. It could fail. It could not work. There are many times people plan things and it does not happen. They just patch it and let it go. We had a goal to have a solemn assembly last year, and corporately, it came to pass because God proposed it. The means to get there, the process to get there from the corporate point of view took a lot, but it was achieved. It was a checklist. That was a physical goal that has a spiritual attachment to it. There was a goal for me to really, thank God my wife is not here, but I had a goal in my heart physically to make her happy, to honor her, to serve her. Maybe she would have been the one to tell you if I achieved it. But in my heart, I believe I did some of the things that was in my heart to do. I wanted to see her happy. There are other physical goals I could mention. I'm not the type that like to share testimonies. that are way above our head. And let me tell you why. Not everybody can handle your testimony. Human beings, human nature is very insecure. What you think you're trying to encourage people, it creates jealousy. It creates negative discussion. It creates backbiting. It creates all kinds of things. So sometimes you just leave big testimonies in your pocket. Amen? When you feel it's necessary to inspire people, to encourage people, you can share it. But sometimes testimonies backfire. So you have to use wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, there's a foundation to this principle. The scripture, Isaiah 64 verse 4, some of you might know it by off head by now. You probably memorized it. If you have it memorized, what does it say? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who wait on him. Amen? Or Corinthians, Paul says, those who love him. So basically, God has given every one of us here a promise that every year from 2017 to 2018, from 2018 to 2019, as a father, he has prepared something for us in this journey. He has prepared something for you. But he says, your physical eyes have not seen it. Your ears have not heard it. Neither has entered the heart of the physical man. But in Corinthians, he says, these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. Amen? So, God has plans for us in 2019. And benefits for us. Spiritually, also physically. That's God's side. Human side, we can have goals for ourselves, or we call our vision for 2019. So physical goals, I want to make more money, I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better wife, I want to raise up my children more, I want to be closer to them, or I want to, just something you can measure at the end of 2019 and say, I can say this. I want to be a better student. I want to go from B to A or A to A plus. I'm just giving you an idea about natural goals that you can discipline yourself to achieve. Spiritual goals are the things God has prepared for you to enter into from glory to glory. You might not know them, but they are there. Okay? So now that we've established, because you have to establish it. If you don't establish that God has some benefits for you in 2019, you will not discipline yourself to achieve it. People that don't have vision or goals are distracted. They just live anyhow. And the end of the year, they have anyhow testimonies. Amen? You have to be intentional when you have a goal or you have a vision for a particular year. So you will not waste your time. Now, if we establish that God has something prepared for us, or you have a goal, there are principles that you have to follow to be successful, to achieve whether 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold of that goal. The first thing the Lord showed to me, and we're going to start with this today, is the word identity. Identity. Identity is everything. Spiritually and physically. Your identity
is what defines your image of who you are. Your identity defines your image. And the image of yourself is how, the image of yourself is how you deal with everything about life. The image you have of yourself is how you see things, how you solve problems, how you react to things, how you, everything about your life is built on your image or your identity. I didn't know this for a long time, but it's become a reality. So here is how Jesus put it. Jesus has been ministering, doing things with his disciples, but he's preparing them to do what they see him do and more. And Jesus knew that hell will come against him. So Jesus, being the Son of God, was here. As he was walking with the disciples, he came to a particular area that was known for superstition, for demonic activities in Caesarea Philippi, image of all kinds of gods. He asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Amen? You all know that scripture. Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? All of them started naming the things connected to miracles, to healings, to this, to that, to that. They say, "You're Elijah, you're this." Maybe in those days, if he was very good with, you know, they were just naming up people that had similar giftings in their life. So after they did all that, because I'm just running through that, I want to show you some scriptures. They were all saying different people. Then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" So they didn't know, but Peter, listen to this. Peter said to Jesus, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." So Jesus said to Peter, "It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed to you who I am. Amen? But my Father who is in heaven." He says, this revelation you just received is the foundation. It's really who I am. It's the foundation upon which my church will be built. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Meaning foundation. So now, upon the identity of who I am, is who the church will be. The church is not a building. It is the ones God has assigned to represent him on earth as his ambassadors, as his vessels, as his servant. So he says, upon this foundation, the identity of this, what you just said is, upon this identity, I build my church. And look at what he said. He says, and hell cannot stop it. Basically, he said, the gates of hell. Gates means the government of hell cannot stop it. Cannot stop it. So, based on what Jesus was saying, Jesus is saying, you see, all these things cannot stop me because of who I am. Because of my understanding of my identity. This is the grounds I stand. My image of my identity. I see things through that identity. I do things through that identity. I walk through that identity. And nothing, hell, the whole government of hell cannot stop it. And then he says, based on this identity, you have access to God in such a level where he says, what you command on earth, heaven will on earth. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound also in heaven. Meaning, upon this revelation of your identity, you'll be able to access the things of God. You'll be able to rule over circumstance. You'll be able to overcome situation. Because he made it clear, the gates of hell will oppose you, but you will rule. You will prevail. You will overcome. The word overcome, you subdue and you rule over it. So the first thing the Lord was showing me is we have to know whose image we are. If you don't know your identity, you're going to be flipping back and forth all the time under pressure, under situation. But there's a process. The moment you know your identity, when things come and shake you and you're standing on that identity, then you're growing in that identity from glory to glory until you're fully stabilized. Before then, there's going to be a wrestling between the flesh and the spirit. So the first thing is, know who you are, spiritually speaking. Now, when you know who you are, or your image is everything, your image defines your ability to see and to obey God and to be successful. I want to mention a few things, and then we're going to read a scripture to walk us through this. And all I'm saying is for 2019. Two examples about identity and image. God told Moses to send 12 spies. He appointed them from every tribe into the promise. Everybody say promise. Every one of us has been, God has prepared a promise for us in 2019. We have to go from glory to glory. That's what it means. You have to grow. Amen? So, God has prepared a promise for us in 2019. So, God prepared a promise for them. And the Lord said, Moses said, I want you to go and spy. See, just peep, see what that promise looks like. Amen? So, he sent 12 spies from every tribe. So what happened, when they left, they came to the promise. Spies means they want to see what it looks like before they possess it. So they saw the promise. But when they saw the promise, there were other things they saw with the promise. There were giants in the land. There were thorns in the place you planted your wheat. There were giants in the promised land. But it's a promise. Amen? The gates of hell are there. But it's a promise. So, this is where your identity matters. Your image matters. The 12 of them came. They looked at the promise out of their identity. Out of their personal image. 10 of them, the majority of them, they looked at the promised land from the point of human sight. The identity was more, oh, I'm flesh and blood. I'm just human. I'm just flesh and blood. I just came out of Egypt. I'm just human. We have human needs. So they projected, they saw. Their eyes were out of the image of themselves. That's the identity. A Jew, I just came out of slavery. Came out of Egypt. So when they looked at the promise, all they saw about the promise was the giants. That's their image of who they are. A lot of people, after being born again, they still live in insecurity. Because of their past. Because of this, because of that, because of that, because of that. They came out of Egypt, they came out of Jesus, they came out of this. Why are we born again? It's for transformation. God knew that this flesh is wicked, is just evil. That's why we're born again. Amen? So, they came out of Egypt, and the image they still carry is the image of their past, or themselves. So, when they looked at the promise that God is giving to them in 2019, they said, all I see is problems. All I see is giants. All I see is, I don't know, all I see is impossible situation. All I see is, I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that. That's the past. So, here is the promise. But the other two, they looked at the promised land with an identity of Christ. What does it mean, an identity of Christ? Hopefully we have time. I'm just building this to read the scripture we have here. They saw the promise through the word of God, to the identity of who they now are, not who they used to be. They came out of Egypt with a promise from Moses, from God. They meditated on what God says is sending them to possess and who God says they now are. So now, they have now taken on this new identity of coming out of Egypt. They have now made a covenant with God. And God is saying, based on this new covenant, I am going to give you a promise. And you're going to possess it. Told them ahead of time, there will be all these heights and heights there. But I have given it to you, and I will make sure you possess it. So, two of them, they saw the promised land, but what stood out to them more was the promised land, was everything God said. They had a new image of themselves. And out of that new image of themselves, they saw the things of God, the promise of God through that image. Were there no giants in the land? You know what they said? From the image, from where they were standing, they said, if this is what God promised us, let's go now to possess it. But the other says, we wasted all this time only to find out there is no promise but giants. Image. The Lord was showing me that there are levels of psychological image that people come out of. And it affects their spiritual growth if they are not careful. It says, like, just for example, using the natural, it says children, I'm using this culture, this environment. It says children grow up in their parents' home. And their parents teach them things based on the kind of parents, based on the teaching, based on the background, based on their experience. They come out, and then all that year from age 1 to 17, the children, they are now made to only do what their parents say, but in their heart, they have accepted what they think they like, what they think they don't like, what is real, what is not real. They just swallow it all. That's one stage of identity. So what they present at that level is, I'm just going to let my parents know that what they told me is what I believe and stuff, or whatever. They will pretend as much as possible. Now, after 18, where the government says they're now free, and some of them get to school, they now say, Dad, Mom, this is my time now. So they get to college, or they get to school, or whatever college or university, or out of that 18, where they feel liberty, they begin another cycle of life. Their image is either confused, because one, at this point, they want to find their own identity. So the identity now, crisis begins. Do I be what my mom told me or what my dad told me or what both of them told me or what I am or who I am, what I'm going to be, what I'm going to study? All these things, they begin to, in the midst of them saying, I just want to be who I am. In the midst of them being independent in college and being themselves, their mind and their perception is struggling with, who am I really? Where's my identity? Where do I belong? So many times students in college take almost 1 year of their lives struggling for their own personal identity. The Lord showed me it's almost their identity crisis moment. And then, if you happen to be in a school where there is so much perversion or the world is so strong in that school, when you come out of a Christian home and you come into an identity crisis in school, the tendency is that sometimes some of them never survive being a Christian. Because the God they know, not all of them really had a personal understanding of God for themselves. So by the time they get to college, there's confusion. And in the midst of the confusion, there's lies the enemy has taught. So in the midst of all that, some of them don't really know if they are Christians. So there's a lot students go through. And by the time they graduate, if they are not intentional about this principle, they enter marriage with that confusion. And the crisis continues. So identity is the foundation for successful life. Having a solid image of who you are. By the way, it's so interesting that when Moses finished his time, 40 years in the wilderness, when the time for Jacob, for Joshua came, it's so funny. Joshua did not appoint 12 spies. He appointed just two. That's interesting. Amen? Now, another example of image. We'll get to the scripture by God's grace. I know you're, what I'm saying to you is also scripture, but I want to read the principle out of scriptures to you. Another example about the seriousness of identity is the reason why God changes people's names in the Bible. There are so many great men, great people in the Bible. There was a reason God had to change their names to adjust the way they see things from that moment. God changed the name of Abraham to Abraham. At the point where Abraham was, Sarah's womb is dead, everything. No, are you, the promise is over. Let's go with Ishmael. God says, no. This is now where the promise is going to manifest. So your name is no more the man of the flesh. Your name is the man of promise. Your name is the man, that, the one that butts for promise. Abraham. God had to change because your image, your identity is your name. It's your face, your picture. Who you are. God had to change his mindset so he could see through the image of promise. Abraham. Jacob was living a very deceptive life. But destiny was upon him. When it was time for him, for God to get him to focus on destiny that was upon him, he encountered an angel. And in the course of that experience, that encounter, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Because that is the image, the identity he was born with. He was born as a nation in his mother's womb. And that image carried him to fulfill destiny. Peter was a fisherman. His name was called Simon. Jesus changed his name to stone, little rock. He was going to be a leader. He was going to be a foundational leader. He gave him a name tied to the very foundation of the move of God. You're right. There was a man, his name was called Saul. A man of the flesh. A man of religion in the flesh. He became a murderer. He didn't have an identity. He was just full of religion and tradition. Killed, tried to stop, but when he encountered God, God had to change his name to the name that lines up with his new identity as the one that will be sent to fulfill destiny among the nations, from Saul to Paul. This name changes were not just something nice God was doing. They were just examples for us to receive by faith. That the moment we're born again, the image of our life should not be the flesh man. It should be the spirit man. We cannot be born again and build our life on flesh and blood. Or build, we have flesh and blood, we don't ignore that, we have all that. But we got born again so that we build the rest of our image on who we are in Christ as God's children. Based on this image of Christ in us, or the image of sons and daughters of God, your focus will change. The way you use your time will change. The way your whole life will change, because you see things no more as human, you see things from the image of God's children. You will see obstacles, you will see problems, you will see everything from the eyes of God, not from the eyes of the limitation of the flesh. That's why Jesus says, all things are possible to those who truly believe. Amen. Okay, I think this is one of those teachings we have to continue. I'm going to read the scripture because this is so important. There is no way you will not win. So let me tell you how to measure this. One is your identity. Your identity gives you your image. You can either choose to walk in the image of the sons of men, or you can choose to walk in the image of the sons of God. And your identity gives you a vision for those who truly wants to achieve goals or anchor things. You have to have a vision. From your identity, you have your image. From image, you develop a vision or goals in the natural. A goal or a vision will give you a purpose-driven life. You live for a purpose, not just living. And when you live for a purpose, you make a difference where other people see the need for life. You become a producer, not a consumer. And then from vision to a purpose life, you have a mission for life. And when you have a mission, then God can begin to give you strategy to achieve these things, to possess these things. And you're able to measure your spiritual growth from the fruit of the Spirit year to year, not so much by your physical breakthroughs. So, let's read this scripture, but we will cover it more next week. We'll really break it down next week. Let's open to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is a transition from 2018 to 2019 in our own time. But here it was a transition from Moses, the end of Moses, to the beginning of a new year with Joshua. And the Lord gave him promises, gave him a lot of promises. And then let's go to verse 7. And God says, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, the promise, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, so that you may be intentional to do or to obey, to do according to all the word of the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from to the left or to the right hand, that thou mayest what? Prosper whithersoever you go. See, he's talking about distractions will come. There's something that has to keep you focused so that you're not distracted from your goals for the year. There has to be a focus. But the focus doesn't just come. It's all tied in the scripture. We'll look at probably next week. It says, this book of the law, meaning this word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, not any kind of success, good success. There are success you have, you can be contested for, but these are success that come to stay. Success that multiply. You're not afraid to lose. Have I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God goeth with you where thou goest. God is saying to Joshua, listen, things is going to come to cause you to fear. Things will come that will normally cause people, when they receive the promise, when they receive the vision or set a goal, there will be things that will cause fear, that will cause discouragement, and all this stuff. He said, Joshua, things that will cause you to become weak or become discouraged or dismayed, despondent, you're discouraged, you're losing hope, or afraid. He mentioned all these things because God does not lie. He's saying, you see this promise I gave to you, you see you're entering this year. There are problems out there. But you're going to be strong. You're going to be courageous. You're not going to be afraid. You're going to make it, and you're going to make it well based on this principle he just told Joshua. So we're going to look at them next week since we didn't get to it. Everything I said by the word of the Lord was very important. But we're going to look at these principles next. What is it we need to do to walk in identity? What is it that we need to do so that based on that identity, we are able to face problems without fear, to overcome discouragement, to overcome confusion, despair, to overcome looking at the problem rather than looking at the promise, looking at the giant rather than looking at what God says? What are we going to do 2019 to avoid distraction? What are we going to do by the time we get to 2020, we can look back and say, this thing worked. You can measure some level of your spiritual growth. Like for me, I can tell I had peace. Peace. And that peace is still there. Amen? Hallelujah. What are we going to do so that in 2019, the giants will not be bigger than your promises? The things you're dealing with. And for the students, what are we going to do for you to go past identity crisis? So you have a focus. God told David, David said, he says, when you are a young man, that's your best time to run, because you have strength. But if you take all this moment wasting time trying to, because of identity crisis and letting all the distraction overtake you, before you really settle down, you start competing with strong people. So it's good for you to take advantage of the strength of your youth, so that before you know where you're going, you're already making a difference because you are focused. All this is in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If I ask you before we close today, who are you? Who will you say you are? Your driver's license says you are this. Amen? Because that's the one you relate to human beings. But I tell you, demons don't care about that. Tell a demon that you are who they see on the driver's license. They will laugh. Because that's the one they have power over. But who you are is the one nobody sees outwardly. That's the one demons are afraid of. Amen? So we'll look at next week also. Why the Bible says without faith, that faith is every victory. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Do you know what that means? The only way you can walk in your God-given identity is by faith. Why? Because who you are cannot be seen by physical eyes. Who you really are cannot be seen by human physical eyes. Who you are, you have to acknowledge by faith. Faith is the things you don't see with physical eyes that are really who you are. Amen? So he says, this person walked by faith. We walk by faith. All Hebrew talks about faith, faith, faith. What they're basically, all faith is saying is their identity. They know their identity. That is not this person. By faith, they did exploits. They overcame. Why? Because they walked by who God says they are, not who man says they are. That's what faith is. Living in the reality of your identity can only be by faith, because who you really are that rules and light over darkness, you are righteousness over this, you are rich over poverty, you are this, you are that, you are that, you are that, is by faith. You walk in the reality of who you are. So in closing, one testimony. Why this is important for us not to miss next Sunday. It depends on what the students plan to do. We'll just take it step by step. But God gave me opportunity to be in different places. There were some very influential people I do things with. I don't want to mention their names. One of them now is the president of ORU University. We went to different places, and some other places I went on my own. He was amazed. We were in some places, and I would just be myself. I would just sit there, just be myself. I was not moved by the environment or by the people. It doesn't mean I don't appreciate those things, but I was not moved by it. I didn't know why, but I felt it was later I realized it was because of the identity. My identity is not on this man. That long time ago, I gave up on this thing, you see. Long time ago. Long time ago. I don't trust this thing. I don't believe in this flesh. It's just, the Bible says, it profits nothing. I only use it to serve God as a vessel in this fleshly body. So, there was one particular place I went. This person was so famous, so popular, well known. So when people, even rich people would come around this person and, please sign your autograph, sign your autograph. So when I met with this person, he was expecting me to say, wow, so good to meet you. It's a privilege to meet you. But we greeted, we did things. But I went there to pray for this person to overcome something. So, after we prayed and God brought a breakthrough, they showed me a video of what God used this person to do in the world. And they were expecting me to say, just America say freaking out or something like that. I wasn't freaking out. So, I don't know. That's British English. But I wasn't. And they were like, this guy doesn't really appreciate this. But I wasn't. My flesh wasn't into, I can't explain it. Because when I'm in that atmosphere, I project my true identity. So other places God has allowed me to go, I found out that there was nothing to run after men, seeking for ID. Give me your, what do you call it? Your business card. Because you're like, oh my God, if I have a preacher, better get his business card. I wasn't thinking about, that was not in the agenda. So I'm only saying this, your true identity as a child of God, there is nothing in Christ but humility and meekness. Nothing in your true identity than humility and meekness. The only thing that moves you is God's presence. I've told you all the story of, I can tell you more and more of these testimonies. But also, when we come back here to pray, I sit on the floor and pray, or I lie down, or I sit down. It doesn't matter. If any of these people I know out there come to Mount Zion East, they almost think they can't put the two together. They almost lose their faith. Because it's like, who is this guy? Who is this? But no, they can't put it together. But you know, if Jesus, the Bible says, though he was God, when he came to this world, you know his identity? He was born in a manger, not in the palace. And all the time he lived in this world, nobody knew him. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So, identity is very important. So tomorrow God makes you a millionaire, makes you a scientist, makes you a great person. You don't just lose who God has called you to be. Amen? So we'll look at that, and people are praising you and lifting you up, and you allow them to lift you up. That's the wrong identity. Father, we thank you for this new season. We thank you that in 2019, You're calling us with a focus. You're calling us with vision for our individual lives. Father, you're calling us to sit down, take time, and ask you, what do you have for me for this year? Or make some natural decisions, Father. Help us to make goals. How do I want to see my wife in 2020? How do I want to see my husband? What is it I need to do so that I have a focus for my children? What do I want to do for your kingdom? Father, give us vision. Give us a mission for 2019. So that as you give us strategy and you teach us the things to do, so that at the end of 2019, we can look back and say, wow, it really works. I'm living with a purpose. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Deliver us from being tossed around by life, but living with a purpose for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.